Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD.
Greetings and welcome to the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by the Jewel Network, TJN, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of life and living on the Jewel Network. And again, I'm so happy to be here with you, and we have more to talk about. Mr. Trayvon and Mr. Zimmerman are still very much in the news, and as we talked about on Monday, from a more cerebral perspective, should I say neurophysiological perspective, I wanted to talk more in relationship to how we're all connected. And for some of you that may sound, you know, real woo-woo-y or real spiritual-like, et cetera, but again, this is the century for the mind and science to become synchronized. And therefore, we are now able to identify that there are sound reasons as to why there is an interconnectedness between all of us. So, again, as usual, our universal solvent is H2O, water, or some beverage. Please get your pad and pencil out, and, of course, you'll be looking at what you're writing, and that makes you what? VAK, E-A-K, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. You're using three of the main modalities to take in information, and this is how you can increase your capability of being able to learn something once and learn it indefinitely. So let's talk about this fabulous phenomena known as entanglement. It's a quantum physics scientific conclusion about how phenomena and how energy moving through space has the capacity to bring about what we call singularity or a common awareness in all beings of a particular species. And in this case, we're talking about humans. So my sponsors want to talk to I'll be right back after this message, and let's talk about the entanglement process, which is why and how Trayvon and Zimmerman have affected all of us on planet Earth. Let's talk about that. I'll be right back.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, an incredible volume of work. Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Well, greetings. If you're just tuning in, wonderful. You are quite synchronized because you're right on time for our discussion today. We're talking about a fabulous quantum physics phenomena known as entanglement. And so there's a couple of books that I want to reference right now that I really want you to investigate and explore. One is entitled Entangled Minds, M-I-N-D-S, by Dean Radin, R-A-D-I-N. The subtitle to this is Extrasensory Experiences in a Quantum Reality, Entangled Minds. And then another wonderful book known as The Quantum Enigma. Quantum Enigma, and that's by a little group here, Mr. Bruce Rosenblum and Fred Kuttner. Very, very interesting, and they deal intensively. Also, Rupert Sheldrake's work. He is one of the really founding fathers in talking about something known as morphic resonance, which really is how thought waves not only are communicated through your neurons and your brain to your body, but also to surrounding people and also people very much far away. So we have a wonderful example here, and if we want to talk about scientifically, one of the positive contributions that Trayvon and Zimmerman have given to us, and it has been a stimulus, a catalyst for us to begin to really communicate about our perception of ourselves, our sense of safety in our community, our sense of safety in the world, to really communicate about how we think of ourselves as our self-worth by our own recognition, our self-worth by others, and to allow ourselves to disassociate and disconnect from our past, extracting the wisdom and bringing those greater understandings and lessons learned to the present, and from there, with a new level of communication, begin to communicate in a much more integrated way, creating a new destiny for everybody involved. Now, a few things that I also saw that I thought was very interesting is the stimulus, the catalyst for mothers to really begin to take a more intense and a more thorough look at their relationship that they play in the role of their children, and in this case, especially their sons, as well as the fathers. So parents are now stimulated and are now communicating about how do we, in a helpful, focused, and balanced way, discuss and exhibit our concern and sense of safety and support and confidence in our children. So our Attorney General, Mr. Holder, it was very interesting to hear some excerpts from a speech he gave just recently at a sorority convention where he made it very clear that, you know, he had a teenage son and that he had to have a discussion with him about how to conduct himself when he's away from home and the social judicial reasons as to why he felt the need to have to really give him this son-to-father lecture because of the multiple experiences that Mr. Holder has experienced as he grew up and obviously watched many others. So, therefore, the question is, you know, is it really necessary because of a particular characteristic? Okay, just because you're male, your genital signature is a warning or can be hazardous? Is it also because of the melanin content in your skin that you now can be seen and defined and handled in an aggressive, violent way. Very, very interesting. We had just a young woman from Pakistan where allegedly she was attacked by rebels and she was actually shot in the face a couple of times. And so she's had the opportunity, because she's not only survived that but thrived through it, and now has last week spoke at the UN informing everyone all over the world. They had all the representatives there at the UN council meeting, that not only did that experience challenge her willingness to live, but she is 100% devoted to life, and that nothing and no bullets or anything else are going to really interfere with her moving forward with her destiny, which is to ensure that all children, especially females, will be able to read and to write and to be able to be taught mathematics and science. And so it's been very interesting that these violent occurrences with this 14-year-old Pakistani lady being shot in the face, and it was just really miraculous that she's able to live through that. And when I saw her, you know, her face wasn't significantly deformed at all or altered. And then we have Ms. Trayvon and Zimmerman all affecting us worldwide. Teenagers again. The children are teaching the adults. And it's been through something that the adults on the planet have continuously perpetuated. And that is violent. It's violent. And then now, since this has been a lifestyle that's been lived for scores of years, I mean, we have World War One, then World War Two, and we go on and on and on with these wars, all carried out by adults. And then we are shocked and surprised as to why the children are now having these very violent events occur in their life, and they haven't hardly even moved into the second decade of their life. So gender issues have been a serious problem, as well as melanin content of the skin has been a serious problem for humanity for scores of years, 20 years a score. It is amazing. Amazing how still at this point in our evolution, that with all the scientific information that has been available, science has been prodding along and continuously every year has made contributions to reveal more about the magnificence of life in so many different life forms and specifically in human beings. Now, for those of you who may be familiar with my work, for those of you who are not, we do have my latest edition of Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z with Ethno-Consciousness available on the website. This book, I am really promoting for the simple fact is it makes it very clear to all human beings why this pigment known as melanin, which is vital to the life of all humans, it doesn't matter how much you have, but you have to have it in every cell, in the muscles, in the mitochondria, etc., what it does, how it needs to be treated. And obviously the more you have, when you have presentations in the skin, you have over 12 sites in your brain. Everybody doesn't have 12 melanated sites in the brain. We know for a fact that the baseline is 8, but the more melanated individuals appear to have almost 13 sites of melanated centers in the brain that don't appear to function well unless that melanin is there. So the more melanin you have in your eyes, your hair, your skin, obviously there is a demand as to how that needs to be treated. And what I found in medicine to be so interesting is how can we make recommendations for specific group of individuals. Culture is nothing about race. In my book, I make it very clear that we've known for, again, scores of years that there's no such thing as race at the level of our comprehension of our genetic library, the genome. It's standard and the same in everybody. The gene content, that's how we can identify a human being from a dog, regardless of whether the hair is blonde or black, the eyes are blue or brown. The genes are the same, 99.9%. Now, then if they're the same, obviously if you stand many of the other cultures next to me, we look uniquely different. But we have the same genes. And that is because, and I'll say it again, I'll say it as many times as I have to, until humans all over the world understand, is that the genes are like keys on a keyboard, on a piano, and that the consciousness of the individual determines what melody is going to be played, which then determines what keys are going to be percussed, are going to be struck. And everyone that comes to the piano, unless they have made a conscious agreement, will strike the keys in very different ways. And therefore, the melody, what we hear, the product, is going to literally be quite unique and different. This is exactly how our genes are. So we're finding out now that how we decide to respond to our thoughts, to our environment, determines what genes are going to be activated, sustained in activation, or put into a quiescent or dormant state indefinitely, which is obviously going to make us appear quite differently as those genes express themselves. We call that the phenotype, and this seems to be the issue where humanity is really caught off guard and is very much back beyond the Dark Ages. So for the existence of transplant technology, organ transplant, donating, and technology, many people are walking around with organs in their body from different cultures. Organs in their bodies from different cultures. Trust me, if the genes were extremely different, like the genes from that form a cat's heart or a dog's heart, you as a human would not be able to tolerate that heart unless your immune system was literally decimated. It would be very uncomfortable for you, the side effects, if that was really possible. So therefore, many people are walking around with organs donated from different cultures. Those organs are coming from individuals who may have had blonde hair or black skin or whatever, and they had a new opportunity to live. Because the human species originates from one gene pool in an original location on this planet and therefore has migrated worldwide and has responded so uniquely based on environmental stimuli and their perception on how they chose to respond to the environment. This is very, very important to understand. So there are jet black people who live in Sweden. And, of course, the melanin production that they undergo is definitely not as intense as individuals who are in equatorial Africa. However, they don't, in one lifetime, become completely amelanated because there was a conscious decision made, and this is something that we're still yet to release to the general public, that when conscious decisions are made because you and your body are not the same, the genes are going to have dominance all the time when those genes have been stimulated and appointed to create a physiological effect, a neurological effect, a phenotypical effect that defines the consciousness of the individual. So, back to our discussion here on entanglement, what are we finding out? We're finding out that there are streams of energy, what we call consciousness. And consciousness is what? The informational content in energy. Wherever there's energy, there is consciousness, which means that that energy being released has information in it. And we're recognizing that this stream of energy carrying consciousness is everywhere, and it moves through all forms of matter. And when we have specific life forms that are very, very similar genetically, that the stream of consciousness that has allowed those genes to be activated and stimulated in a definite, persistent manner, that stream of consciousness is universal for all of these organisms wherever they may be located on the planet. So it's almost like there's an invisible rope of energy that is continuously moving through space, and it literally carries information, and that information is processed unanimously in the same manner by the exact species. And the species reacts to that energy in just about exactly the same way. So, very interesting. Rupert Sheldrake did an experiment with a group of birds. I think these birds are up in Canada somewhere. So they're called tits, T-I-T-T-S. And in this particular area, the tits had included, well, the tits normally ate from the wilderness, et cetera. And there seemed to be some type of climatic change. And so, therefore, the tits were looking for food, and a group of tits found out that they could peck a hole in the cap of milk bottles, because milk in that area was being served in glass. It was delivered in glass with a type of wax cardboard cap on it, and that the tits could literally pick a hole in that and be able to drink milk. So they noticed over time, in a matter of about 3 years, that in this one little region where they had first seen this kind of behavior, where the birds now were actually partaking of the milk on the porches in this area, that the birds' capability of doing this spread throughout the whole region. So this one particular species, which doesn't fly, they're not migratory birds per se, they stay local, just like your local sparrows or wrens. All of the birds who were of the tit, a family of birds, were now able to peck holes in the caps of the milk throughout the entire region. And so they've seen this happen in chimpanzees and the monkeys. You know, it's very interesting that some monkeys learned how to survive, take a potato and wash it off. And so, therefore, in that little area, the monkeys watch each other. And so, therefore, monkey see, monkey do. They all begin to wash their potatoes. And that then also spread throughout the entire region on a matter of months, even though these monkeys had not migrated to these distal regions. So states of consciousness do not have borders, and for like species, there are certain states of consciousness that entire species, wherever they're located, will be aware of, and if possible, will demonstrate the behavior pattern from that energy carrying information that is universal. It's not anything that can stop or be stopped, literally, by what we call matter or a solid mass. So the Trayvon Zimmerman interaction has now stimulated all of us as adults, as mothers, as fathers, to now recognize that our past of chronic violence, that our past of bigotry, and our judgmentalness and separateness, outright segregation, is still very much alive and is continuously being enacted upon the children, and children and adults are still carrying out these violent acts, not only with other adults, but now even on the children. So we have children carrying out violence on children, and we have adults being quite violent on children now. And for reasons that really are not substantial, as we're finding out, okay, our attitudes and our values and our belief systems have really gotten so out of control until we find just minimal stimulus to have us perform very grave and very injurious and extreme acts. And we're seeing this over and over again. And now we're communicating about this, and what are we going to do, each and every one of us? So if we have a need to feel important, this was brought out in the case with Mr. Zimmerman. It appears as though he wanted to be a police officer, and he was going to do that in his own way. And, of course, his limited training and just a lot of other misinformation, lack of information, but yet and still this will to want to be of service in a way that he felt was very important for his local environment has caused the life of one of our young, potential, great individuals on this planet. We will never know what the greatest gift he could give, but he's given us a great, great, great gift, though, because he's asked us, literally, by this event that he was involved in, for us to really look at what are we doing as adults, or what are we doing as parents, or what are we doing as just human beings interacting with each other. And in the face of all this information about the fact there's no race, can you imagine? And all these newscasters and talk show hosts are very intelligent. We've got all this information here. One of the gentlemen that was one of my first instructors to eradicate that concept and thought in my mind for me to be able to write the book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, definitely corrected me in my vocabulary and in my usage of the word race. He made it very clear. No, there's race variance. Dr. Stanley Gantz, he's deceased now, but he made huge contributions to establishing the Center for Human Ecology at the University of Michigan and their medical anthropology department. And so he's done all kind of research on examining different race variants, their growth and development, neurologic development, social skill development, milestone development, as we call it, et cetera, males and females all over the world. And he's written hundreds and hundreds of periodicals on this. And he's made it very clear, we have race variants, not races, race variants. And because of the state of consciousness of the individual, the state of consciousness of the culture that the individual dwells within, and unique characteristics expressed from the universal gene pool of the human species, we have these variants. Everybody has the gene to make melanin.
Everybody. Even if you've been diagnosed to have vitiligo, you still have the gene that will allow you to produce melanin. Now, whether that gene is dormant, that means it's not functional at all, sluggish, or intensely active, will determine very visually and very vividly how you are going to appear to the naked eye in hair color, eye color, skin color. The exact same gene. Totally influenced by environmental responses based on the individual state of consciousness and cultural stimuli, which is still considered an external stimulus. So this is very, very phenomenal because all of these belief systems and values on the foundation of science are coming to a head. It's like they're all meeting at a cross point in the grid. And what we know about energy grids is that wherever two vectors of energy meet, it literally creates a wormhole. That is, that the energy is significantly enhanced. And to the extent we still really don't know, at the cross points as two vectors of energy intersect. At the intersecting point, incredible energy and information is always present. And so, therefore, what we know for sure is that anyone that has the gene available, that is, it's identifiable in their genome, they can activate or put into a state of dormancy any gene in their genome if what? If they understand how to communicate with their genes in full consciousness, which means now that you have to have a great understanding of the brain, and the brain has to be in a specific condition to be able to create the neurotransmitters that will allow the organelles in the cell to activate these segments of DNA that may be extremely overactive or in dormancy. So we are entangled. We are all connected by these fields of energy carrying information. And from species to species in the book Entangled Minds, they discover entanglement occurs in insects and occurs in rats and mammals, etc. And finally, they were able, from a microscopic perspective, to move to the macroscopic and see this phenomena in large beings, i.e. us. So what you do affects everyone and everything else, because our state of consciousness is energy, and that energy is moving through our brain, out of our brain, and permeating all spaces. And we find that when the brain is highly organized, the axons, the dendrites are highly integrated, that this brain is releasing fields of energy at an incredible rate, with an incredible intensity to affect many, many, many people. Now, a very good example of that is Michael Jackson. The integration and the arrangement of the neurons in his brain and his capacity as a conscious field of energy to stimulate the different circuits of the brain and create an end result of communication known as music affected most people in the human species worldwide. And we're seeing that with all of these different people. We are entangled. And the collision between Zimmerman and Trayvon has created literally a similar effect that Michael Jackson has, but the product was different, obviously. And so now we are taking a look to ask us to look at ourselves. And it's very important to time it. Remember, this is one of the last days in the Mayan calendar cycle where the future nodes, the gaps, are open for us to create our future. And so this gift that Trayvon and Zimmerman gave us, do we want to continue to think the way that we've been thinking toward each other? Do we want to then carry out these same activities in 2013 by the Mayan calendar, which begins July 27th? Do we want to continue that forward? These two beings gave us an incredible gift of asking us to look at ourselves. So this is very important for individuals who still are having issues feeling safe in their environment because they are highly melanated. That is something for them to really look at, that here they are, incredible beings, unlimited capabilities, and because they have what is tremendously a gift known as melanin, they're feeling insecure and feeling that this incredible gift of melanin is diminishing the quality of their life. Now, this is very important. If you are questioning what I'm talking about, you must become educated. Don't let July 27th hit you in the face on your iPad or your BlackBerry phone or your iPhone and you still don't know anything about melanin. Your life depends on it. I don't care if your hair is yellow as the sun and your eyes are blue as the ocean. Your life depends on melanin. And it's time now that you became aware of the importance of this and find out about it. Now, we have 50 or 60 shows dedicated to melanin, melanology. Every fourth Wednesday for years we've had this. All of those archives with incredible scientists who are melanin recessive, as we call them, or melanin dominant, that have contributed their findings on melanin. You must listen to this. So my sponsors are beckoning. I'll be right back after this message. But we are entangled energetically, and it's important for all of us to become astute about who we are, except the greatness that we all exhibit. I'll be right back.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
Well, greetings. If you're just tuning in, wonderful. I strongly suggest that you circle back to thejewelnetwork.net and listen to this archive. Mondays, the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show, as well as this show, so that you can follow the presentation of the information relative to the connection energetically and consciously that we have to each other worldwide. So, again, the media has played an important role in making sure that we're aware of each other, different locations on planet Earth, but we were aware of each other anyway because energy moves. Energy is moving. We are literally entangled in these streams of consciousness. And we have an opportunity to really look at our belief systems, our values, and to decide if we really want to take those forward into 2013 by the Mayan cycle calendar, which is very accurate for earth changes, sun changes, planetary changes, cosmic changes, which is really the true keeper of the cycles of time. Not the chronometers on your watch, not the calends known as the Gregorian calendar, but the Mayan calendars and other calendars that keep the cycles. Those are the true tellers of time, and we are just beginning to move into 2013. And these states of consciousness to think that I'm vulnerable because I have more melanin in my skin than other beings of my one human species, or to think that because of my age, I'm not safe because of this. The list of just dangerous dichotomies and thinking have to be evaluated, et cetera. They have to be evaluated. It's just amazing that since we are recognizing that in the United States, as far as covert slavery is no longer legal in the Western world, et cetera, still people are still cultivating and sustaining belief systems and values. There are other people around them that have one head and two arms and two legs and feet, et cetera, that are not equivalent to them as far as the importance of their life. This is amazing at this particular time that we do not still get it, that all life is sacred. And, of course, because we're so easy to go to war with and to raise technologies against each other that definitely harm the body, we have to take a look at what is going on in our consciousness, that we feel the need that it is important to have to destroy someone else's body. What is going on in you? You see, you have to understand that it says a lot about the dichotomy in one's thinking when you can create and suspend plastics and metals and all kind of interesting matter in space and put it in sync with the rotation of this planet, known as our International Space Station, our ISS. That is a projection from our brain. Hundreds of thousands of individuals contributed on so many different levels to produce this product. So if we can use our computer, the human brain, to be able to project mass into space and keep it there indefinitely, that ISS, that International Space Station, looks so different from me and you. It functions in many unique ways, but definitely not as refined as we do, which is why so much stuff has to go in there to even try to sustain a living a body to remain living. And we still are having difficulty in being able to communicate with each other and respect this wonderful commonality that we have, that we are animated, that we are life forms that are literally living. It doesn't take near as much energy, near as much contemplation and calculation and focus to communicate with another human being and be able to find as many common grounds as possible, as opposed to what it requires of the human brain to create an International Space Station. So we already know, just by that example, and that's a really extreme one, that we have the intellectual capacity to be at peace, to interact with each other in a wholesome way where no experience can ever be so severe and so intense that we cannot solve it without destroying our body. That was a huge feat to create the International Space Station. And trust me, if you can literally draw and externalize all of these ideas, something suspended in space so many hundreds of miles away, it is much, much easier for us to come to agreement with each other. Considering now there's no such thing as a language barrier, we've all decided that there's one language that we're going to use universally. We have machines that we've created that can translate any other language just about. And again, because of the entanglement phenomena, we can still communicate with each other, because people who go to the deep, deep bush are still able to communicate with the bush people there and be able to learn their means of language and learn the food that they eat and how they sleep and whatever else, et cetera, and be able to come back to the Western world and inform us. So when we decide that we do want to interact with each other in a way that does not bring harm to the physical body, we can do that under all circumstances. So it's time now that we have to look around and look in ourselves and ask ourselves, what is our belief system and our thinking to even create a perception that there is someone or something and that their belief systems and their values and what they are doing is so incredibly intrusive that they have to be removed out of their body. What are we doing? What are you doing with that brain? Because all of this is entangled. And then when you're not contemplating, when you are not evaluating your values and belief systems, and you are, again, releasing these thoughts and values into the environment, your children learn them, and then they begin to actually carry out the same behavior, then everybody wants to be upset, and everybody wants to try to understand how can that be when we've all contributed in our values and belief systems with our fears, sustaining our insecurities, that these kind of conflicts will continue to happen. Trayvon and Zimmerman have given us an opportunity to really clean up a lot of misinformation and a lot of emotional waste that can only be removed by our willingness to go within and really look at the foundation, the origin as to where these kind of beliefs and values came from. So, you know, we have to look at the National Rifle Association, okay, and their sense of needing to have to carry arms. For what reason, why, you know, they still believe they're in the wild, wild west. What are their thoughts? Because entanglement also means, and we find that very interesting, just like I talked about the tits, little birds. We talked about the chimpanzees and watching the potatoes, that specific groups who entertain specific thoughts, thinking continuously circulates through their brain and literally is processed chemically in the body because the neurotransmitters are released from the brain, traveling into the bloodstream and permeating every cell to give that cell directive. And so, therefore, this is the entanglement. They are entangled and are functioning off of particular states of consciousness that continuously perpetuate themselves. And their values, their belief systems, and their behavior, however, will also permeate every other human brain. And depending upon what their collective values are, we at some point are going to always see the end result of it because we have different collections of states of consciousness in the one species known as the human. But the groups within the humans are very much entangled in their own values and belief systems, but all of the values and belief systems of humans eventually affect all humans. So we have different layers and different levels of how our thoughts are affecting everything. we've got to become much more sophisticated and much more aware of the science that has been left for us, that is available for us to help us better understand and accept why we are what we are and why we behave the way we behave and what we can do to change it when we see that it brings harm to ourselves and to our family member. So all the parents of these two individuals, all of the siblings, all the neighbors, all the people that ever worked with them, people that ever taught them, it's amazing how many people were affected by the interaction of these two people in less than an hour's time. So worldwide, these people have affected each and every one of us. And this is a great opportunity because if you're carrying in any of these values or belief systems that would force you to think that your life is not valuable because you have increased amounts of melanin in your hair and skin, or that you are threatened and that you are vulnerable because you don't have melanin dominance or excessive melanin in your skin, that now you have to carry a lethal weapon to protect yourself. All of these things can be changed, and they're all illusions because, and when I say illusions, that is that they're just temporary states of consciousness and then temporary manifestations of your state of consciousness if you would change your state of consciousness. This is very, very important for you to recognize that you can change anything. You can change anything. And I'm that melanin recessive individuals can naturally become melanated again. Well, we know they can become melanated. That's why they have tanning booths and so many different tanning techniques to give the body the appearance of more melanin. Superficial, but they already have the important seed. And the important seed is they want to have an appearance of more melanin. So that's why they tan in tanning booths, and that's why they spray melanin, synthetic melanin on the skin. But the information that is still circulating is on the periphery and only in the science community and only in the really upcoming futuristic science community where states of consciousness can influence the cells at any time. Bruce Lipton has basically talked about the fact that it is the consciousness of the individual that determines what the cells are going to be. So when you decide that you want to have more melanin in your hair and eyes and skin, you can begin to communicate directly with the genes that are responsible for the production of melanin in your own DNA. Now, that can happen for a group of people who feel that they have too much melanin. You can literally diminish the amount of melanin production without hurting yourself and using bleaching creams that damage the entire dermis, the entire skin. You don't want to do that if you only need to focus on the melanocyte. But you've got to do what? You've got to become sophisticated in learning how to use the brain, learning about your body, and then recognizing that you are an energy field that is literally giving viability and the capacity for all of these organs and structures in your body to have motion. You and your body are not the same. This is just like a fabulous car, any wonderful instrument. Yes, that's what the body is, and it's time now that we have to start learning how to use it and not attack one of the greatest instruments that you have is your body. And attacking other people's bodies. This is just sheer ignorance on the part of humanity at this point in time as we evolve into the future. We can focus on putting this inner earth matter into space, but you don't want to learn anything about your brain, and you don't think it's important for you to have access to both hemispheres of the brain. Now, just think about that. Does that make sense to you? And I can tell you without question, there's a lot of problems that they've had to work out in the space station on the space station, many of the astronauts' health is in a crisis at all times. But part of that is because the right and left hemispheres of the brain are not synchronized. They have been highly capable and accurate of using particular circuits of the brain very efficiently. But now, do they integrate the brain where they have access to the entire brain and all of its segments? And the answer is no, which is why they found problems in the space station, problems with their health, because if they would access more brain tissue in a balanced, homologous way, many answers would be very obvious to them, that they wouldn't have the problems because they'd have more brain tissue that is contributing particular dynamics and depth of information that eliminate many of these what we call black holes and the things that we create and what we do. So we're on the of the 21st century, and it is going to literally blow your neurons. It is going to blow your neurons if you do not activate more of them and integrate them in a wholesome way. So I was just reading a book recently where they were talking about the new intellectual information surge, where there's so much information now. How are you going to manage it? And that's a big problem for most people. New things every day. I was just going through about this, all these articles and things, and I was like, how are you going to hold on to this information? Well, it's going to be a real challenge for you if you're going to try to squeeze it all in a very small area of the brain. And when you know that you're only left dominant, left brain dominant or right brain dominant, you've already recognized that you've got one whole half of your brain that basically is not doing much of anything except utilizing nutrients, oxygen, and, you know, struggling to make some neurotransmitters because you will not complete the growth and development of your brain. So this is why we have the Trayvon Zimmerman incident. This is why fathers have to talk to their sons and caution them about their behavior just because they have an innate capacity to produce a very vital substance for life known as melanin in their skin and hair and nails. This is really something when you've got to caution your offspring about the fact that they may be attacked because their genes are expressing a particular quality, that you can't even be a fully developed human. When anybody can do this, anybody with two arms and two legs and two ankles and two feet, they can all learn how to run. If they want to learn how to ski, they can. Some may have to have longer instructions, special key skis, but they can learn how to do that. Do you tell the person that just because you've got particular length issues on your legs or the size of your foot that you can't ever learn how to ski? Of course we wouldn't do anything so stupid. We recognize that they need some different support, but of course they can't. Well, then why would we tell somebody that because they are making a substance that is vital for life that there's a problem with that? Who would do that, and what parent would sustain that if they really understood what these qualities are? This entanglement energy that we are sending throughout the world, which really is the energy is carrying a lot of misinformation, is very harmful to us, very harmful, and we need to really look at our thoughts and values and belief systems. And if we are feeling inadequate and insecure, then we need what? What I find that really solves that problem is information. So if it's something you don't understand or something that you don't like, then you need to really study that. Because when you do that, it's really interesting. First of all, you find out that what you perceived was not really even true. And usually instruction on how to be able to refine it, to redirect it, etc. So this is very, very, very important, this entanglement phenomenon. So when we talk about vibes, this is the very common description of entanglement. You have a vibe that was getting from that person. Yeah, the streams of energy that were flowing from that individual's brain to yours and the information that your brain was able to process from that stream of energy. Could be anything, but guess what? Your brain can also transmit wholesome fields of information, streams of energy, if that's what you choose for it to do, so that any individual in your space will change their quality of energy released from their brain if yours is of a frequency that is more dominant. So we can all basically change any circumstance when we understand how to interact with energy. Oh, my goodness. It's time to go again. I love you very much. Tomorrow, music for the mind of a scientist. Remember, tone comes before geometry. So please pay attention. Learn about the frequencies and the harmonics, and you'll do that when you listen to music for the mind of a scientist. Again, all of you all who are on the balancing program, you want to learn how to further integrate your brain, learn these disciplines, so please sign up for October, and all of you are welcome to listen to all of this science, 24/7, science on demand at the Jewel Network. Please visit us there, become a member of the network, and have access to all of these archives and listen to them as many times as you'd like over and over again. Science on demand 24/7. www.thejewelnetwork.net. We love you so much. And, oh, again, I'll be at the Madhu Bookstore in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Greenbrier Mall between 2 and 4 on Saturday. So please come out and see us. And especially after the Zimmerman, Trayvon teaching for all of us, pick up the book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, with Ethno-Consciousness. It's a whole simple, it's very thorough treatise on melanin so that you can understand the value of what you have. Everybody has it, and you need to understand that. Love you. See all of you on Saturday, if possible, October. I'll be also in Jamaica in July talking about the blood and the brain. So go to the website, see our activities again, and most of all, I'd love to help you balance your brain. Join us. Dr. Jewel. Balancing program. Love you very much. Talk to you again next Wednesday. Talk to you on Monday with the Brain Balancing Program. Bye-bye.
www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.